Thousands of people are headed to Selma, Alabama this weekend to mark a pivotal moment in the civil rights movement. It was 50 years ago this Sunday when 600 marchers headed east out of town towards the state capital, Montgomery. They were marching for equal voting rights for blacks. They never made it out of town, though. Alabama state troopers attacked them as clouds of tear gas wafted around the Edmund Pettus Bridge. The photos were seen around the world, and historians credit the outrage that followed for passage of the Voting Rights Act later that year. Well, now, 50 years later, there's a project at Duke University to keep the fight for voting rights alive. Charlie Cobb is a veteran of the civil rights movement. He was part of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, or SNCC, back in the 60s, and he joins us now. Charlie, welcome to you.
Thank you.
And we're also joined by another person that's part of this project at Duke University, Amina Bility, who is an undergrad at Duke. Amina, welcome to you.
Thanks for having me.
And Amina, let me start with you. The project that you are both involved in is called One Person, One Vote. We'll link to it at our website, hereandnow.org. But what's the goal?
Basically, the goal of the project is to make the history of a Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, or SNCC, accessible to the public, and to kind of bring the history down to the grassroots and explain kind of the grassroots history of the movement. So it wasn't just one or two people who led the civil rights movement. It was people, local people in Mississippi, and young people like the SNCC veterans who made the movement possible.
But bring that history back for what purpose today in 2015?
Well, I think the history is still so relevant to issues that are going on today, and it's also important to understand the sacrifices that people like Charlie have made in order for us to be able to vote now, and why we need to continue fighting for social justice in the present.
As a veteran, if you will, or participant in the movement of the 1960s, I have a lot of dissatisfactions with the history, because I think a lot of things are left out. The Selma to Montgomery March, for instance, was much more than a five-day march to Montgomery, Alabama. There are 3 years of organizing work that preceded it. Mm. There are all kinds of people that were involved in the Southern movement. And I think both the involvement of those people and what they did, as Amina pointed out, contain very useful lessons for today.
Well, let's look back to some of the history here. And one of the people who we all know was involved on that day in Selma was Congressman John Lewis, who was one of the leaders of the march. Here he is speaking during an interview at the Aspen Institute.
And you saw these guys putting on their gas masks. They came toward us, beating us with nightsticks, tramping us with horses, and releasing the tear gas. I was the first one to be hit. I was hit in the head by a state trooper with a nightstick. And I had a concussion at the bridge. My legs went from under me. I thought I saw death. I thought I was going to die.
Charlie, what are your thoughts when you hear that?
Well, John was the chairman of SNCC when this happened. All of us were familiar with this kind of police violence, this kind of brutality. I have lots of images that run through my mind, not only in Selma, but in Mississippi, where I worked, and other parts of the South, of the kind of violence that people confronted in order to gain the right to vote. It's part of what makes exercising the right to vote today so important.
Amina, what about you? When you hear that, and you weren't alive at that point, but when you hear that now, what does it mean to you?
I think what it means to me is it just kind of reminds me of the sacrifice that other people have made so that I can have the right to vote, and how important it is to protect that right. And also, it also reminds me, you know, in doing my research and for making the site, you know, this kind of violence, like Charlie said, was so common and so endemic in the rural South at that time. And so, you know, when we learn about civil rights history in school, we learn about, you know, Bloody Sunday and how this, like, this is the spectacular violence that happened during those times. But really, this was almost normal back during that time.
Well, and what happened that day to John Lewis and others did, as we said, help lead to the passage of the Voting Rights Act later that year. President Lyndon Johnson signed the bill into law on August 6, 1965. Here's part of what he said that day.
This act flows from a clear and simple wrong. its only purpose is to right that wrong.
And today, as we know, because of a decision by the Supreme Court, a key tenet of the 1965 Act has been struck down, leading to some of these voter ID laws in many states. Charlie, what do you think that what you and Amina and others are doing can do in terms of the voting restrictions that are going on now?
Well, one of the things that the site does, this one person, one vote site does, is show the power of ordinary people, what ordinary people can do when they make up their minds to struggle for change. That's really what's essential to understand and what Selma represents. Selma represents 3 years of work that preceded that march across the bridge. And who was doing that work? Ordinary people, maids, sharecroppers, cooks, day workers, and the like. The site shows this, and it shows the why of this. And hopefully, it will inspire people to continue to struggle in this era that we're in now of voter suppression.
Do your African-American friends vote?
Do mine?
Yeah.
Yes. All of my friends, as far as I know, vote. You know, we all are old enough to remember what it was like when we couldn't vote.
And what about you, Amina?
I would just say that my friends in general, I think my friends from North Carolina are very aware of the efforts to suppress the vote in North Carolina, especially the youth vote. And so they do vote.
They're more likely to vote because of that.
Because of that, because they know that there have been efforts to make it a little bit more difficult for young people to vote in North Carolina. But I would say my friends from out of state are probably less likely to vote.
Why do you think that is?
I just think that I don't think it's political apathy so much as that people feel that so frustrated maybe by the political system that they feel that their vote won't matter anyway.
But do you think that these restrictions, that these voter ID laws are keeping people from going out and voting, people that want to vote?
Well, I think that I guess it's hard to understand for someone who, you know, drives a car maybe why it's these laws do suppress the vote. But for people who might be homeless or who don't have ID or who are older or people like me, like I only got my state issue ID I got my state issue ID so I could vote. So I didn't have a driver's license. So I had to go get a state issue ID so I could vote. And I think that just like even those extra little steps, the average person doesn't think about that. But it is, for some people, it can be prohibitive.
Charlie Cobb, what do you think about that?
Yes, I think it particularly affects poor people. It's inconvenience. I mean, part of the way they suppressed the vote in the 1960s was with literacy tests and all kinds of other inconveniences. Now, these voter ID laws, the shrinkage of hours in which you can actually cast a ballot, the reduction of time in which you can vote absentee really affect. I would say, and I have not, I must acknowledge, not seen a quantitative study of this, but really affect that bottom quartile of the society and reduces their participation in the political process.
And another thing I would like just to say for me is one of the restrictions that the General Assembly made was reducing early registration for teenagers. So basically, when you signed up to get your driver's license, you could just check a box saying that you were going to register to vote as well. And so removing that restriction just made it even harder for younger people to register. So I think that what the site shows is that, you know, we just want to make voting as accessible as possible. And, you know, it's our basic right as citizens. And I think that any efforts to just make that more difficult should be questioned.
Charlie, do you think anything like Selma could happen today that people would be willing to go out and march and put themselves in danger for a cause like voting rights?
Well, we see within the context of police violence, Ferguson and other places, that people are willing to go out and march. That's part of what the Black Lives Matters movement represents. I don't think, quite frankly, that people who march, say, against voter registration, voter suppression laws would be faced with the kind of violence that people marching on the Edmund Pettus Bridge face, you know, a sheriff, a posse, state highway patrolmen, cattle prods, and tear gas. So violence is really not very much in the equation when it comes to protest at this point.
Charlie Cobb, who was involved in the civil rights movement back in the 60s, and Amina Bilodi, a student at Duke University, both of them are involved in the One Person, One Vote project at Duke. We'll link to it at our website, hereandnow.org. Charlie, Amina, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
And by the way, President Obama will be in Selma for the 50th anniversary commemoration this weekend.